Good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning, good morning. See lots of fellowship going on. Exciting time in the Lord. Who came ready to worship? All right, I just got back from youth camp, so we're going to have to do a little bit better than that because their excitement was off the charts. Let's try one more time. Who came ready to worship? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, God is good all the time. We had a wonderful time at camp. God just moved in mighty ways, which he always does. I'm never surprised, but always appreciative of the move of the Spirit of God. We do have a few teenagers that will be sharing some testimonies later in the service of things that God did for them at camp. And all you other teenagers in here, we have three people that said they would share. But if anyone else wants to share, be thinking about that, and we'll give you opportunity as well. So we don't want to leave anybody out. The Bible says we are overcomers by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So we want to give you the opportunity to share the goodness of God. A few announcements we have is next Sunday, we will be having a baptism at the Temachi Creek. So it is across from where the Humane Society has their horses out on 199, and we'll be going right after worship. So everyone can feel free to follow us out there if you'd like to watch the baptism. If you'd like to be baptized, there is a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk, so please sign up and let us know. Also, we just finished teen camp and kids camp, but next week we start family camp. So if anyone is interested in going, it is also a great time in the Lord. It starts on August 5th. It goes through that Friday. It ends early Friday morning, August 9th. You can come for any or all. If you want to check it out, there's more information on the flyer posted at the door and on our website. If that wasn't enough, we have man camp right after family camp. That actually starts the Thursday. That family camp is still going on. So Thursday, August 8th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday is man camp. That is in Indiana. There is also more information posted at the door and on our website if you are interested. We've heard great, great testimonies from man camp as well. And then this year we are having our first ever tri-state women's retreat. So this is Kentucky, Ohio, and Indiana. We're coming together to do a retreat together. Melissa Patillo, you can see her picture right there, will be ministering. She is a fiery preacher of the gospel. I guarantee she'll bring a timely word of the Lord. So if you're interested, that is September 5th through 7th. It is in Lafayette, Indiana. And we can definitely arrange a carpool for anyone who's interested in going. So there is a sign-up sheet for that as well at the welcome desk, as well as all the information about pricing. And they are having a vendor's fair one day. So if you want to come and sell stuff, if you have a business or want to make something and sell it, you're welcome to do so. And you can sign up the sheet for that. And then today is our Steadfast Nursing Home service. So at 1:30, they're headed out to skilled nursing and rehab. Everyone is welcome to go and love on the residents there and share the love of Jesus. And our last announcement is we are having a Target right here in Cary. We're so excited we were able to work one in, and that'll be this Wednesday at 7 p.m. So there will be no services here, but we will be uptown at the gazebo at 7 o'clock. So we encourage you to come, but not just to be fed. The purpose of Target is to evangelize, to pour out. So we encourage you just to come prayerfully and just stand and look around. Just see who God's going to point out to you. Maybe they just need a hug. Maybe they just need you to say, Jesus loves you. Maybe they just need to say, how can I pray for you? There's something you can do. So we encourage you to come and be a part of that Target service Wednesday at 7 p.m. And at this time, Brother Jesse is coming with a scripture to call us into corporate worship together.
Praise the Lord, church. It's good to be here this morning. Amen. How many of you are glad to be in the house of God today? How many of you know God has what you need? God is our source. Amen. So when we look to God, he's going to give us what we need. Amen. Scripture I want to read this morning is in John chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. But the time is coming, indeed it's here, now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. I want to ask you a question this morning. How many of us see and understand everything that is happening in the spiritual realm? Are we aware that there is a spiritual realm? We are aware of it. Do we see what is happening, everything that's happening in the spiritual realm? We see everything? No. We can be aware of things in the spiritual realm, and we can see some things in the spiritual realm, but we, as humans, cannot understand and see everything that is taking place in the spiritual realm. For example, how many of us have seen the angels that have been assigned to us? That's scripture. We all have angels that are assigned to us. Have you ever seen any of the angels that have been assigned to you? Some of you may have. I have never. So, I want to say that to say this. There may be times when we are praising and worshiping God because that's spiritual, right? God is a spirit. We can't see God, right? And as we were praying this morning, I'll just use this as a quick example. What Pastor Joe was praying, and to someone who has no faith, they may think that we are crazy because we're talking out loud to someone that we cannot even see, right? So to someone from the outside looking in may think we are crazy, but we know because we are made up of spirit also, body, soul, and spirit, that we can relate to a God who is a spirit through our spirit, right? And let me say one more thing about that is that the scripture says that our prayers ascend up to heaven and they are a sweet incense to God. There's a golden bowl in heaven that's filled with the prayers of the saints. So I'm saying these things to help you visualize that things that we do in the natural aren't just natural. They are also spiritual because we are spiritual beings. So while we are praising and worshiping God, we may wonder, God, why am I doing this again? What is the purpose of this? Well, let me tell you, when we are praising and worshiping God, things are happening in the spiritual that we cannot see. We don't understand, but we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? Praise is one of our biggest weapons that we have to combat against the enemy, and all we have to do is lift up the name of Jesus. We start to praise God. We say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that you are good. And it begins to enter us into areas that we would not be able to step into had we not praised and worshiped God. If we want things to happen in the natural, the physical world that we see, remember, it starts in the spiritual. That's where things take place. So I want to encourage you this morning through your week, when you're getting into a down place, start to lift up the name of Jesus, and things will begin to happen from the spiritual, and we will see them take place in the natural. Verse 24 again says, "For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Would you stand with me this morning? There are three ways to give. They're listed up on the screen here, cash, check, and you can give online. And then we'll just pray over the tithes and offerings. God, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, the name that is above every name. Lord, and I pray that you would bless these tithes. God, bless these offerings. May they be used to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's worship this morning. There's nothing too big for our God. Amen. No matter what we're facing today. My God.
Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit to give you confirmation about something that you're feeling in your heart? I was just doing that because I felt strongly in my heart to make a couple of declarations here. But I was asking God, you really want me to do this? And it was like, if you don't do it, you're disobeying. So I have to do it. First thing he asked me to tell you is to encourage you to sing that song over the nation of the United States of America. That song is very prophetic. Because there's so many things that the evil is trying to do against this nation. Most of us sometimes are too distracted to see it. Or maybe we was watching the news as something human, but there's always a spiritual battle behind everything that is taking place. Did you see what happened in the Olympics? You should Google it. That was an attack, direct attack against your faith and my faith. We're not doing anything reactively, but we're just believing that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. So can we sing that song over the nation of United States of America? Have you ever sung something over something? Singing is not just to God, but you can also sing to God over something. And God asked me to tell you to sing this morning this song over the United States of America. The second thing I want you to do today is if you could pray today sometime, even during the service or maybe when you get home, I don't know. If you could pray today for the nation of Venezuela, half of the congregation that God has allowed us to start in this church from the Hispanic community is from Venezuela. And they are praying earnestly because today there is a huge battle going on in that country. For almost 20 years, there has been a dictatorship model in that country. Oppression, destruction. A country that was rich was being destroyed, has been destroyed by communism. Today, they are having elections. And the Venezuelans are putting their hope that darkness will not prevail this time. They're believing God for a change in that nation. A change that needs to happen because the nation is divided and there could be a civil war within that nation today. So if you feel like God has called this church not to only matter about our own issues, but also the nations of the world. If this is an apostolic house, which I think it is, let me say that one more time, but three people believe that. If this is an apostolic house, because I think it is, this is not just a local church of Cary. This is an apostolic house that can rule and decree and declare and believe in the goodness and the power of God to change the nations. You know why I know this is an apostolic house? Because whenever you guys hear about helping a nation, you're always jumping into. Because we have sent our pastors to Africa. Because God has put a mantle and anointing in this church. And I'm telling you today, wake up, rise up, stop whining, stop complaining. We are the church of the living Christ. We are the greatest entity in this planet Earth. We have the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost to tell the devil to get his dirty hands out of the nations. Can we tap in some prophetic anointing today? And stop thinking that you're doing a little thing. We are doing a great thing in the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing that song over the nation of the United States and pray for Venezuela when you can.
Knows only how to triumph. Oh, and my God.
not backing down from any giant.
Sometimes we need to put physical action behind our declaration of faith. Just to kind of explain that is, we can say something in faith, make a statement of faith. Sometimes we need to do an action behind that, because what that does is it helps seal what we're saying in our heart. And so this is what I want them to stay in this song, because I feel like God is really doing something here. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to take action over the declaration of faith that you're proclaiming right now. But first, I want to warn you, because I felt a warning come up in my spirit. Sometimes we hear a word from God, like Pastor Darius gave us, that was a word from God, a directional word from God. And we put our own preconceived ideas on that word. We think when God said this, he meant this, when he really didn't mean this at all. See, when we're declaring something like this right now over our nation and the nation of Venezuela, what we're actually declaring is God will have his way. His way. And that's not dependent upon anything that anybody else does, because he's on the throne, he's in control when we give him control. And so I want to encourage you right now that as we go back and sing this song and declare, and we're going to pray after we sing this again over these nations, and I'm going to encourage you to sing this over your families and personal lives and battles that some of you are in. But I want you to take a step of faith physically and say, if you are joining and singing this over and really saying, at one point, we the song literally says, we declare the mighty name of Jesus. Like, that's essentially what we're doing, right? We're declaring the name of Jesus over these nations, over our lives, and over our families. I want you to step out into the altars up here and just join us if that's what you're really doing. As we begin to sing that, I don't want let's just say, oh, let's make a declaration of faith. No, let's put some legs behind what we're doing, and let's say, yes, I'm stepping forward and I'm joining my brothers and sisters in faith as we make this declaration that we are putting our lives in the hands of Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we want his will and we want his way. And so we're making a declaration of faith. Because see, here's the thing. As Pastor Darius alluded to it, the world has made a declaration against our faith. And if you don't fully understand what happened when they were mocking the Last Supper, they're actually mocking the covenant that Jesus Christ made with his church. That's why it's so essential. Some of you may be like, well, what was the big deal? Yeah, I know it was ridiculous and all that. What's it? Because they're mocking the very covenant that Jesus made with us. So what we have to do in reaction to that is not attack them. It's where we miss it. We want to get in a debate. We want to say, oh, that's so terrible. We want to get on our social media platforms and let everybody know how Christian we are. No, no, this is how you respond to that right here. You take a step of faith and you approach the throne of grace. And you say, Father, you see what this world around me is doing and attacking the covenant that you made not only with your church, but I'm making this personal, that you made with me. And so I'm coming to you and I'm declaring that we want your will and your way, God. That's what we want. And I'm telling you right now, church, I don't care how that looks or what it takes to get there. And that's how dogmatic we got to be about that. I don't care how it looks or what it takes to get there. I just want God to do what He wants to do. So as we sing this song again, and you've taken this step, you're joining faith, look around. Look at your brothers and sisters are saying, yes, we're joining together. The Bible says that one can put 1,000, but two can put 10,000. We have more than two. Sometimes we think we're so weak. No, we're not weak at all. This church is powerful because we have Jesus. So let's declare the word of the Lord to take place over our nation, the nation of Venezuela, the nations of the world, and our homes and our families right now. Let's sing it again. We're going to see the victory because He always causes us to triumph. It's what the Word of God says. I'm not going to make the victory happen. I can't do that. But Jesus already won the victory. So I'm going to see that victory the way He wants it done. Amen. Come on, let's just sing this to the Lord right now. Father, we have joined our faith together, and you see not only our proclamation, but our action that we're taking. And you see our hearts, Lord. Our heart's desire is your will. God, we want what you want. we lay aside all of our ideas, all of our things that we think will work and fix everything, God, and we just humbly come before you and submit our lives to you right now. That you would have your will and your way take place, not only in our nation, not only in the nation of Venezuela and the nations of the world, but God, let it start in us. Let it start in our hearts right now, God. As you see this declaration of faith that we're making and joining to your word, God, we just release all of the strife, anxiety, pressure, frustration that we feel from this world. We release it. We give it to you right now. God, I thank you that through this process, you are growing your church so that we will bear your fruit and we will be able to declare your goodness even in the hard seasons of life. God, we just give these things to you right now. We release them to you right now. Ibrest romanada shikutabasi. Shpreme kures eribushikatabasi tibis. Remenena kurevasa. Things that we've been bearing in our soul, God, we open them up and we give them to you right now, God. I thank you, Lord, that you're doing a healing work right now. I thank you that your blood is applied to our lives. God, we're walking these things out. We're walking these things out with you in faith, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to stay right here in this atmosphere. I don't want you to move. Stay right here. Pastor Alicia, I want you to come up and join me. And we're going to invite some students to share what God has begun to do in them. This past week at youth camp, it's important. And it's so fitting to do it right now because when we join together and make a declaration of faith, sometimes the enemy will try to attack and steal that away. And what you need to hear is witness of the goodness of God. See? When I stood there at that camp and I saw all the hurt and the pain that these teenagers have already faced in their young life. And I begin to see God start a healing work. It's when God reminded me there's still hope. I'm still working. I'm still moving. Let me just be real. And them kids got up and talked. They weren't talking about, oh, you know, it's been hard, you know, because of peer pressure. So, no, man. They were talking about dysfunctional homes that were full of abuse. There was one girl there. I don't even know how old she was, but she couldn't have been past 16. Abby. She walks on the campground with her little boy. And we just tried to connect with her, and she said, yeah, this is my son, and he came to this world because somebody raped me. But I'm thankful that God gave me this little boy because he's a gift to me in my life. And that night, the power of God hit Abby. She fell on the floor and she wept before God. See, when we talk about stuff like this, we're talking about real stuff. Not your petty little things that you just don't like. Your order got messed up at the restaurant, and so you're having a bad day. No, no, no. These kids are going through some real stuff. And God is meeting them where they are and healing them. I mean, I saw such maturity, didn't we? In her to be able to say that. More maturity than most of the adults that we talk with. She's like, but his name is Asher. And you remember Abby and Asher, you pray for them. Because I believe God's got something amazing for them. We're going to have some of our students share just what God was beginning to speak to them and do in their lives. And I don't care, whoever wants to come first, just run up here. I know you're probably, I'm going to have to call somebody, but Aubrey. All right, Aubrey. Come on, Aubrey.
Hi, guys. So I'm going to tell you about church camp this year, and I'm going to compare it to last year. Last year, church camp was more of like a physical reaction for me. Like, I learned a lot of things, but did I, like, apply them to myself? No, not really. This year, it was more of a mental thing. Like, everything I learned, I applied it this year. Like, I really, like, I dug in deeper to it. Like, I made sure I felt time to, like, understand it. And, like, when I came home, I took that with me. And, like, in this learning experience, it was hard. It was a struggle. But, like, how I looked at it as when I came home, I felt like when I was at church camp, I was like a candle. Like, I got lit, and when I got home, I wanted to like stay lit. And anywhere and everywhere I go, like I'm not gonna let anybody blow it out. Yeah. And like another thing that I learned, still trying to understand, is like when you mess up, you go to the altar, you can lay it down, you can repent for it. Like, you know that he's always gonna forgive you. But sometimes you take advantage of that. And at some point, it's like you have to make that decision for yourself. Like, I want to do better. I can't just take advantage of, like, knowing he's going to forgive me for something bad that I do. And that was probably the biggest struggle for myself, and to, like, let things go. Like, I hold on to things. I don't want to just let it go. Like, I lay it down. I say it's over. But I still hold on to it, and I still think about it. And that, like, that was probably the hardest part of it all. And like the disobedience aspect with my parents, that was probably the worst. Like with being an only child, like my parents, like I'm like their guinea pig. I'm their first for everything. And giving them a hard time is like, it makes me feel bad. Like, it makes me, like, I want to be a better daughter for them. And now having God in my life and really like wanting him, like I'm digging in deeper for it all. It's going to really make an impact on my mom, my dad, my aunt, uncle, cousin, even best friends. So what I'm trying to say to you guys is, like, think of yourself as a candle. Like, get lit, and, like, don't let anybody blow it out wherever you go.
One of the messages that Pastor TJ preached on, he used Leviticus 6:12. Which is a theme scripture for our young people in this church. And it says, do not let the fire ever be burning on the altar, and never let it go out. And so that is exactly what Aubrey is talking about. Daniel?
Good morning. I want to start saying that if you want a trip of 2 hours, make it like a 2 minutes, you have to go with Stephanie. Because I don't know where she at. I think I saw. They have pretty fun games. It's crazy. It's crazy. I'm telling you, you should go with her. And I want to start saying that when I get to this place, to church camp, actually, I talked to Pastor Joe about it. I was like, man, I feel this is going to be different. I was kind of sad because I didn't know anybody. It was like, it's going to be weird. I don't feel good being here. Just the first day, I started, something's going on that I was like, oh, I don't like it. What is going on here? And I talked to Pastor Joe. I was saying, man, this is going to be different. I don't feel good. I don't know anybody. But, man, same first day in the night, it changed everything. It changed all my days. It changed because the pastor was talking and he was saying, hey, if you have things in your heart that you have to lay down, like Aubrey was saying, that you have to let it go. Come to the altar. I was like, that's for me, because I was just praying about it. That's for me. So I went there. Man, I started crying. I feel like something was taken out. Like, I feel Jesus taking all the bad stuff. And it was awesome. And after that day, man, I started seeing God in an amazing way. It was crazy. I started seeing the confirmation about things that was going on, you know. I started seeing that, and it was crazy because I was just praying about something. Then somebody came to me and prayed about I was praying for. You know what I mean? It was crazy. It was confirmation every time, and confirmation every time. And that's why I'm thankful, because to God and for the people that I have. Thank you, Pastor, for being my pastor. Thank you for being there. Really love you, man. You know that. And I want to say something this morning. I want to end with this. It doesn't matter what other people say. When God forgives you, you're forgiven. It doesn't matter what other people say. Hey, other people, you can talk whatever you want. I'm forgiven because God forgave me. So if you sometimes feel like that, then, man, I'm kind of like, I did this, so, and I feel bad. No, don't feel bad. God forgive you. Come on. Come on.
We have Lily. Is Lily here today? And then if any other students have a testimony that you want to share, go ahead and come up after Lily. We want to give everyone an opportunity.
Hello, everyone. Good morning. Okay, so this is not near as good as which I give you guys props for that, because you guys did wonderful. Anywho, so church camp was a time and a half this year. I had the opportunity to pray for others I have never met, create lifelong relationships and friendships. Overall, it was a great experience. The highlight of this trip I had to church camp would be definitely, okay, so last year when Tammy took me to the women's conference, Autumn was preaching, and I got the gift to, by the Holy Spirit, I was anointed to speak in tongues. And any other time, I usually just, like, I pray, and then it just, like, comes to me, and I feel like I'm being assisted by the Holy Ghost. But at church camp, I feel like I was praying for Carson, and it was just, like, it wasn't me. It was definitely just, like, all the Holy Ghost, and I wasn't even, like, it was no effort. It was just flying through me, and it was just a wonderful experience, and I'm so blessed. So thank you.
And Linnea.
Hey guys. So first of all, my voice is still pretty gone from church camp, so hopefully you can understand me. But I wasn't really planning on coming up here today. But I want to start with for a long time now, or almost probably my whole life, I've just always felt really disconnected from all of this, and like everyone else was just getting something that I could never get. And I used to tell myself that I had like a rare disease where I couldn't believe in God, and I couldn't do things that other people did. But at camp, I'm not gonna lie and say like I went up to the altar and like my entire life changed, and like, you know, like everything changed in me, because I don't think that's how it's gonna work for me. I think that I really need to put the effort down myself. But when I went up to the altar, one thing did change, and I just felt peace in my mind. I wasn't overthinking everything, and which that was like, I lived with that every single day. I do live with that every single day. So that's a really big change for me, even though it seems like something small. So they had a lot of breakout rooms and stuff, which I think were really good for me and just everyone. And I think I learned at camp that I need, like, on how to grow. Like, I've just been stuck in one spot for so long. And now I think I really know how to get where I want to be, and that there is a chance for me, and that I can get there. And so I really think that I did a lot of growing at camp, and I finally realized that I can be the person that God wants me to be, and I can follow the plan that God has for me. So
Emma's coming. I hope that this is challenging you adults, because sometimes we have adult testimony service and nobody wants to say anything. And I am so excited about these teens who are passionate. And this is what I'm declaring. It's not just going to be the Sunday after camp. I believe this is a start of something in our teens that is going to continue to grow and grow and grow, and they're going to have a boldness and a passion for the Lord, and they're not going to let it just fizzle out.
So during church camp, I stayed for a week because I also help with the kids. And when I started getting in teen camp, I just like was feeling like really drained, and like there was one of the days like I didn't want to do anything. I just wanted to like sit down and like chill, and like I didn't really like feel like having fun or anything. And when I got to church that night, I just started like worshiping, and I felt so alive. Like I was like, wow, because I didn't feel that tiredness anymore, and I did not feel drained at all. And I just thought that was like so cool, because like everything that was going on in my life during that moment just disappeared. Like I was only focused on God. And honestly, during church camp, it just refueled me so much, and I felt like I grew so much closer to God.
And she's not exaggerating when she said she was exhausted, because the teen helpers, they work the snot out of. They were cleaning bathrooms, cleaning kitchens, leading team wars, leading dances and singing, and helping in dorms. And they were doing all kinds of stuff. So, but God refreshes, and God gives the energy that you need. Anyone else? We don't want to leave anyone out. Any teenagers or adult workers? If there are any adult workers at camp that feel like you have something you need to share, I want to give you the opportunity to do that.
Hello, all. So this is my first year being an adult worker at camp, and God really moved in an extraordinary way. I've been to church camp as a camper, but bondages were broken, circumstances were changed in everyone's lives, adult workers, kids, babies, pastors, everywhere. So I encourage you that if you want to next year, go to camp. We had plenty of workers. It's not a beg to come and help us out. But things definitely moved. And to brighten it up, Pastor Joe beat me in a shark dancing competition. We were in a shark suit, so if you hear that, he did beat me. But anywho, things really changed over all of our hearts there at camp. So
anybody else? Pastor Caleb?
I just want to take the opportunity to speak just a second about, you know, God's been doing a work in my life and Leah's life, and things have been shifting inside of us. But man, if there's one thing I know is true for all you teens and some of you adult workers that were there, is that from this point forward, you're going to experience things that are going to be challenging, and it's going to seem even tougher, right, because of how the great work that God did. But I thought it was fitting to say this in this moment, that you young people, look to your left and to your right, and this is your body, this is your church, this is your home. And now more than ever are these young kids going to need you older, more seasoned adults to apply yourselves in their life, because I'm going to tell you, they're not going to come and just ask you to come help them at times. They need the same thing I needed and still need at times, is someone to assert themselves in their life and say, hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? And you young people, just feel comfortable looking around this room and seeing the people that you see that's in this place, that are spiritual mothers and fathers, that have literally laid the foundation of this church for you to have a successful relationship with Christ. So if I leave you with anything from my pastor heart, is let this be a start of a minding together of the roots of the old and the new, so that we can really successfully reach the lost in this world from this church.
Anybody else?
So this was my first year also. It was nice to be not the only rookie with Kendall. Went in, I've had kids church camp for years. My oldest is now 17, and they've been in it since they were pretty small. And I've been saying for years and years and years that I'm going to be an adult helper. And this was the first year I just finally, okay, I'm doing it. I'm committing. I'm doing it. And there's absolutely no ounce of regret. Yeah. I'm exhausted. There's no doubt. But I am so thrilled that I made that decision to just be able to be amongst the kids and the teenagers and just to experience what went on there. I went in just wanting to be a helping hand, and come teen camp, we had a lot of adults on hand, I think, for kids, but teen camp, maybe it wasn't quite as many. And so then you just got thrown into everything, right, Kendall? All right, Lord, give me more. And God stretched me this week, pushing me to do things that I may not have been so comfortable. Being a dorm parent of teens is a little bit, makes me anxious, but I know what to expect. But just getting to grow closer to each of these kids, listening, having conversations with the young ones, and trying to pull some interaction out of these teenagers. But when they do open up to you, it's special. And teenagers, we want that just as much as I think you really do. And after the first night, the Spirit just hit me hard. It was an amazing service. He was just moving, freeing things like it was talked about. And I can't remember, was it the second night? It was just, we moved into testimonies. But that first night, at the end, after altar call was finished, and I mean, I just got hit so hard, you guys, with Spirit, I needed to just intercede for these kids, because I had this joy, this gratitude of what God had been doing, because I could see things moving and shifting, but the reality of what was still there needed to continue working, and I just had to pray. And all week, and things were just, it was amazing to see things unfold in discussion groups with devotions. It was just an incredible experience, and continue to pray for them, because when you're at church camp, even for me as an adult, you're engaged in constant connection with your word and service and worship music all week long. So it really doesn't seem that difficult to press in. When you're back to reality, away from all of your like-minded people, and you're thrown into your everyday stuff, that's where you need to extend a hand, reach out to somebody, make time and prioritize. Because guys, don't let that fire go.
Yeah, come on.
Like Aubrey said, that candle's lit, and you need to let it keep burning. Yes. You need to keep fueling that fire. Yes. Keep putting another log on. Yes. Like Pastor TJ said, keep stoking that fire, right? Stoke the fire. That's what we need to do. Don't let it burn out, because you guys, oh my gosh, I can see a future that God has for you guys, you kids, you teens. It's powerful, and I'm not just saying that. Yeah. I can see it.
Yes.
So please don't ever think less of yourself or think, I'm not where they are. You can grow. Y'all, we can grow. So just keep pressing in. Please, if you ever need to reach out to somebody, there's all these people. Like Pastor Caleb said, we need to work together as a body.
Amen.
One unit.
Yes.
Amen. I want to thank everyone who prayed as well, because I know there are people in here who are praying for the kids and the teen camp and the kids camp, and it makes a difference. Prayer works. And I want to say to those who maybe weren't able to go to camp, God's here too.
Yes.
It's not just going 2 hours away to a campground. It makes it easier because there's no distractions, but God's here too. And we want you to experience that same presence and power of God every time we come together. And then
grow to the place where you don't even have to come together to experience it, but you can experience it in your car or in your home or in your school or in your work. God's here. And so before we move on, we just want to take a moment to pray over all of our young people, teens, kids. So if you're standing next to someone, just reach out and touch them. And we're going to ask Tasia to lead us and intercede for our teens and our kids. They're going to be going back to school in less than a month. And I believe that fire, that fire of God needs to go into our school system. It needs to go in some of these homes where they may be the only light inside of that home. So let's intercede together, but Tasia, lead us off, and let's just intercede for these students that God is going to empower and continue to empower them.
Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you right now, God, and we thank you for what you have been doing in the midst of these young people. Father, I thank you for what you have been breaking off, what you have been mending, healing, making whole, God, restoring, Father. I thank you for what you are dropping into their spirit, God, of where you are calling them to further, Lord Jesus. I declare that over them now, Lord, that they have a heart that longs and yearns after you, God, to draw closer to you, to have a personal connection and relationship with you, Lord God. I speak that over this whole body this morning, God, that we work in unison with one another, that we are constantly reaching out and making connections with each other, God, and taking that forth out into our communities, which in with we go forth, Lord, to take your love. God, that fire that is lit, may it never go out, Lord. Let us reach out and help each other to rekindle and reignite the flame in the name of Jesus, that we take it forth, God, that we are going forward. We're not turning back, Lord. We cannot go back from where we are, but you're going to progress us and accelerate these kids forward, God. I pray over them, Lord, that your hand be upon them as they go back into their daily lives, their daily routines, God, as they are encountering friends, peers, just people in general, God, that maybe don't have that experience or that connection, but that they can radiate that fruit of your spirit, radiate that light and that love in the name of Jesus, God, that there be a holy boldness. I speak a holy boldness over these young people, God, over this whole congregation to just go forth, Lord. God, I pray a blessing over these young people as the school year is about to begin, Lord. It can be a scary place, Lord, to be a witness, to testify of your good works, God. But I pray and I speak into them, Lord, life and courageousness to stand firmly on your true foundation, God, to know what is truth. And that's your word, God. I speak that over them today, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for where you are taking them, where you are taking us, Father, as a whole body. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I encourage you just to hug, love on a young person as you make your way back to your seats. They need to know that when they need to find love, it should be in the house of the Lord. Amen? They don't need to find love in the world. They don't need to find love in a relationship with a boyfriend or girlfriend, but the first love should be in the house of God. And we love our young people. We are going to ask the teenagers to stay in service today, and that is not by accident, and it's not by convenience, but we want you to know, teenagers, that you are a significant part of this body. And the word that we have for today, I believe, is just as much for you, and we need you to hear it. So we want you to be engaged in the word today. And we are going to dismiss our kids and nursery if you'd like to go. But as they go, I'm going to ask Sister Debbie to sing the song, Good, Good Father, just the chorus and that the bridge to that. Because I feel like God wants us to come in today understanding and recognizing his role as a father in our life. And I believe the word that God's given me for today, we have to receive from the heart of a father. We have to recognize his authority as our father,
in order to receive the word that he has for today. So I'm going to ask you, and I know you've been standing a lot, but stand one more time where you are. And as we sing this, I want you to really, really think about the words and come into that place of understanding and recognizing, God, you are a good father. And you're perfect in all that you do. You're perfect in your love. You're perfect in your the joy that you give, the fruit of the Spirit that you give. You're perfect. But you're also perfect in your correction. You're also perfect in your leading and guiding and directing, even when we don't like it. So let's take just a moment and recognize and give him that honor as our Father.
You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are, and I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to
before you as your children. We recognize your authority in our lives. We come before you thankful and grateful for this relationship that we have with you. God, that we can trust you. That you are good and your plans for us are good. And so, Lord, today we just come before you, and I ask and pray, Holy Spirit, that you have your way in this service. And in this time that, Lord, our hearts are just open to whatever you have to say. Help us to receive it. God, help us just to surrender everything to you. Holding nothing back, Lord, let us just come as children with faith like a child. That even when we don't understand or have it all figured out, that we're just willing to sit on your lap and listen to what you have to say. Have your way, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I don't know if that song was on their plans today. It was. I thought, I was in the back this morning and I heard that, and God just began to deal with me about the love of the Father. And about our role as children. And as I was thinking about that, I think sometimes when we grow up and we become adults, we forget what the role of our Heavenly Father is. Does anyone know what the difference is between a child and an adult? What's one of the main differences? Yell things out to me, let me hear. Faith like a child, so children might have more faith. What else? Wisdom, maybe adults have more wisdom. What else? Responsibilities. Adults may have more responsibilities. What else? There's different knowledge, different experience. When it comes to income tax, what's the big deal about having children? What are they called? Dependents. So what God was showing me this morning is one of the big differences between children and adults is that children are dependent. And sometimes as we grow and we mature and we get more knowledge and we get more wisdom and all those things that you said, we lose that dependency. We forget that in the family of God, we never become an adult Christian. We are always going to remain a child of God. And although in my home, I have a daughter who's almost 18, so she will be an adult and she'll begin to have her own dependency. She'll be dependent upon herself, and maybe someday she'll be married and be dependent on her husband. And although I'm always her mother, she's not always going to be dependent on me. And we take that physical relationship and apply it to God and think it's the same way. I get to a point where I'm not as dependent on God. But that's not his intention ever. Whether you're 13 teenagers or 30 or 60, God is expecting us to be just as dependent on him. And that's why when we talk about teenagers being a part of the church, it's because it's not based on age. The Holy Spirit in you is just as great as the Holy Spirit in anyone of any age. We heard a young man at camp this week. I think he's 18 or 19, maybe just graduated last year. He felt the Holy Spirit moving and giving him a word. And he said he went to the youth director and said, "I feel like God's saying this, but if it's wrong, just tell me." I think he was hoping he would say he's wrong because he didn't want to have to get up and do it. Adults, have you been there? And he said the word, and Andrew Dent, our youth director, gave him the microphone and said, "Release it." That is a word from God. And teenagers, I'm telling you, you have words from God in you that we need to hear. There are things that we need to learn from you as well as things that you need to learn from us. You are a vital part of this body. And we don't want you to wait until you're 25 or 30 to get involved. There's a place for you now. We want you to feel empowered and bold to know that this is your home too. And you have every right to be here. Amen. So that's not what I'm preaching about today, but I do feel like that is the foundation that we have to accept this sermon from the attitude of a child. We have to accept that our Heavenly Father has authority. And that while there are times that he will be loving and gracious and kind and merciful, there are also times he brings discipline and brings correction. And so we've had some prophetic words given over the last 2 months to us. And throughout the years, many times people come with prophetic words and we do different things. Sometimes we reflect and realize that was really just a word for that individual, which is great. And we enjoy as pastors you sharing that with us. Sometimes we recognize that is a word for this church and what God's doing, but it's just for us to know as pastors. It's not something to release. And in the last 11 and some years, I don't know that we've ever had so many words in such a short amount of time that we felt were exactly right on and that they needed to be released into this congregation, into this body as a whole. And so that's what we're doing today, and it's going to look a little different. It's going to feel a little different. And I think I heard Sister Betty say, I was watching the sermon from last week, and I think she said, "I was going to say, come up if you're comfortable, but sometimes you're not going to be comfortable, and that's okay. So if you're a little uncomfortable today, that's okay. Embrace it, accept it, understand that your Father loves you, and he has good plans, and that's why he's talking to us.
So I want to start, before we even get into the prophecies, with a little bit of background on prophecy, because we have to be willing to accept, and we live in a day and age where people want to discard prophecy. And they'll say, yeah, there were prophets in the Old Testament, that's why we have the scripture, but we don't need them anymore. Well, that's not true. Or they say, well, we've seen some really crazy, wacky things, people misusing prophecy, so we don't want any of that. And that is true. When there's a gift, there's always the opportunity to misuse the gift. But it doesn't mean we discard it all. So we're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. In the background of this, Peter talks about when him and James and John were on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they experienced the glory of the Father coming down on Christ, and they experienced and heard God saying, "This is my Son. Listen to him." They had this experience. And so Peter goes on to say, because of that experience, we have even greater confidence in the message that is proclaimed by the prophets. You must pay close attention to what they wrote, for their words are like a lamp shining in a dark place. I want you to remember that. The words of the prophet are like a lamp shining in a dark place. We don't always see things clearly, but the prophet comes and speaks to it. And it lights it up and it shows us what we were missing, what we didn't see. Until the day dawns and Christ, the morning star, shines in your heart. Above all, you must realize that no prophecy in Scripture, what's written in our Old Testament, none of those prophecies ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. Those prophets were moved on by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. So what we need to recognize is the scripture, all of those prophecies were evaluated, they were tested, and they were proven, yes, these are accurate and these are from God. And so with prophecies today, we need to do the same thing. We don't just hear a word and accept it, but we say, does it line up with scripture? Does it line up with the character of God? And then we evaluate if this is a word for us today that we need to heed and understand. The next scripture I want to look at with prophecy is 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 1. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially, everyone say especially, the ability to speak in tongues. Is that what it says? Especially the ability to play an instrument. Especially the ability to preach this fiery word from God. No. What does he say? Especially the ability to what? Prophesy. Does that sound like that's for us today? Yes. As the church, we especially need the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, and we do, and we appreciate it, and we release it into this place, but you're only talking to God, and that's talking about your private prayer language gift of tongues. You're only talking to God. People won't be able to understand you. You'll be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. That's what prophecy is for, that strength, that encouragement, and that comfort. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but one who speaks the word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Sometimes we have a message in tongues and then an interpretation. So that interpretation is a form of prophecy. It's giving us the message so we can all understand it. It will come to strengthen, encourage, or comfort. I want to look at those words real quick here. The word strengthen in Greek is oikodome. Everyone try to say that. It's fun. Oikodome. But it means edifying or giving instruction, building or spiritual advancement. Anyone feel like the church might need a little bit of instruction in this day and age? Yes. The next word, which was in our Bible as encourages, is paraklesis. If you've been around the church world, you've heard that word. Paraclete also refers to the Holy Spirit. Paraklesis is an intimate calling. You're calling people into this place of intimacy. It's a holy urging. And it's similar to a legal advocate. So it is the Lord directing people to carry out his plan with urgency or intimacy. And the last one there is comfort is paramuthia, and that is speaking with tenderness. So sometimes it's giving instruction. Sometimes it is calling us to do something and move with urgency and intimacy. And sometimes it is just a tenderness where you just feel the presence of God. That's the purpose of prophecy. And the last scripture I want to talk about before we get into the prophecies is 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Starting in verse 19, going through 21, it says, "Do not stifle the Holy Spirit." I want to say, do not stifle. How many know the Holy Spirit can make you uncomfortable? Do not stifle. How many know sometimes the Holy Spirit may do something that doesn't fit your theology? Do not stifle. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Do not stifle. We believe we need the Holy Spirit. That's why God gave him to us. And we need to let him move freely in our midst. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said and hold on to what is good. And that's what Pastor Joe and I have done with these prophecies. We have tested them, and we feel like they are right, but we're giving you the opportunity. We want you to test them as well. And so as we go through this, at the end, I do have them all printed out. And so I want you to take them and pray over them, not just today, but throughout these coming weeks. Search them and see what it's speaking to you and what part you have to play in them. I want to share what Pastor Roberto said, and I've said this before, but it has just been stirring in me since he was here 2 or 3 weeks ago. He said, "The problem with the church today is that we are not in the presence of God. The problem with the church today is that we are not in the presence of God. If God is our Father and we are to learn from him, don't we have to be near him? Shouldn't we be growing up to look like him? And if the church isn't looking like God and the church is not acting like God, there's a problem. The problem with the church today is we are not in the presence of God." And he said so many things that night, but that is the one thing that stuck to me and has not let me go. Because I said, "God, but we need your presence. Without your presence, people's lives are not changed. Without your presence, people are not delivered. Without your presence, people are not healed. We need your presence. Without your presence, the church is nothing. We are nothing but a social club that comes together and hangs out for a couple hours. We need the presence of God." And so from that moment, I began to pray, and I believed it. It's one of those things, have you ever known something, but it just didn't quite click until you heard it, you saw it? And for the past year, Pastor Joe and I have been saying, like, what's going on? Something's just a little off. Something's not quite right. Something isn't flowing like it should. I don't know what it is. But when he said that, and you get used to your routine, right? You get comfortable in your routine, and we have the Spirit of God move in our services. So it's easy to become complacent with that and say, oh, it's good enough. No, no, it's not. He has so much more that he's inviting us into. He's giving us the opportunity to experience with him. But sometimes we're okay with just a little bit. And this week at camp, on the last night, I think Pastor TJ shared a prophetic word with the bishop of our organization. And he was speaking it to the organization of the Pentecostal Church of God in Ohio. But I believe that word is as applicable for this church and probably every church in the world right now. But he said, there is a clog, and it's holding up what God is wanting to flow, what God is wanting to do. It's just stopping everything. And if you can get the clog removed, you will see things going like never before. You'll see things flowing freely. But what happens is there's a clog and a little bit is seeping out around it, and we settle for that little bit. And we say, it's good enough. But God is inviting us into the fullness of his presence. And as your pastors, that's what we want. That's what we desire. I don't know how many times I've told God, if you're not here, I don't want to be here. I don't want to be a part of what you're not doing. So I am desperate for the presence of God. We had a prophecy over this church years ago, but it was in this building. And I'm not sure if it's tongues and interpretation or just a word of prophecy, but they said, God wants you to host his presence in this building, in this place, in this body, right here, Lighthouse, you. God wants you to host his presence. And I'm telling you, we have not seen that come to pass yet. That is yet to come. And how long that takes for that to be fulfilled is 100% dependent upon us. God's not going to force himself on us. So the problem with the church today is we are not in the presence of God. And I want to clarify this before we even get into these words. God spoke to me just this morning as I was praying. God spoke this to me. It's not an issue of morality. It's not an issue of moral sin, moral failure, which is what the world standards say. They don't even say that, but I guess most church standards, as long as you're morally okay. But God wants to go deeper than that. It's an issue of righteousness, which goes far deeper than morality. Morality is just what you're doing. You can do all the right things, and inside there's still stuff that just isn't right. That's the righteousness God's talking about. That's the holiness of being close to him. You could go through life not sinning, not murdering, not killing or stealing or lying, checking off all the box and being moral and still not experience the presence of God. Because he requires more than simple morality. He requires something that only he can do through us. If we try to do it in our own strength, we will fail every time and we will miss it. And that's what I'm saying, church. I don't want to miss it. So let's look at the words God has spoken. I'm not going to say who spoke these, but came from five different people over the course of about 2 months. Most of them not knowing that the other was speaking them to us. Most of them I don't think even know the other person gave it or has felt it or receiving these words as well. The first one was 7:14:24, and this will be on the screen, and then again, I'll give you a copy at the end so you can read and pray over it, because I believe today we need to start with some serious time before the Lord just to reflect. Say, God, what does this mean for me? It says, God gave me a dream. Oh, I'm sorry, this wasn't a word. This is my dream. Let me share this real quick. This isn't up there. God gave me a dream, 7:14, so a week after Pastor Roberto, and I'm not going to share the details of the dream, but what was in the dream is things were happening. It was in this church body, and it wasn't right. And what I saw in the dream is everybody ignored it. Everybody acted like it was completely fine, and I was mortified. And I had a blanket. I kept trying to cover things up. Like, what is going on? Why is everyone thinking this is okay? It's not okay. Nobody even acknowledged that anything was wrong. And when I woke up, I began to pray a prayer that I've prayed several times throughout the past years. I just said, God, anything in darkness, bring it to light. I don't know what's going on, but you do. And that's something Pastor TJ said to our young people. Do you guys remember this week? Said, you can't hide anything from God. You can fool everybody. You can fool your pastors. Sometimes you can even fool your spouse. You can fool your children. You can fool your coworkers. But you will never fool God. He sees right through it. And so, God, anything in darkness, bring it to light, because he's not bringing it to shame anyone. He's not bringing it to condemn us. He's bringing it because he's a father who loves us and wants to correct it. So we're not dealing with that stuff. So we can have that relationship with him and that intimacy with him. As I was thinking about that dream, I was reminded of our vision scripture, Luke 4, 18 and 19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And I was thinking, God, if we're dealing with these internal struggles, we can't do any of that. If we're so focused on what is in us that isn't right, we can't walk out that anointing that he's called us to do. It's so important that we are free to flow in the Spirit of God. Our vision, simply put, is to be like Jesus in all we think, say, and do. And we have the core values of honor and openness and unity and service and excellence. And those are just kind of like something to measure ourselves against. Are we doing it? Are we there? Because that's what God has spoken to this church. So it's a place that we can check ourselves and check our heart and say, are we living up to this? Which is what God is asking of the lighthouse. So here's the first prophetic word. This was May 11th. And this one has been shared before, so you may remember hearing it. But it says, God brought to my attention the field on the left side of the church. It was full of cows and calves frolicking around, playing, interacting with other cows and calves. And it brought a smile, a light, and a joy in my spirit. As I continued to praise the Lord and seek Holy Spirit for direction for praying, I noticed the fields on the right of the church. Now, mind you, this was May, so it looked a lot different in May. At that time, they were empty. Nothing is growing, no cows outside. So I asked the Lord why this was something I noticed. I sat and asked the Holy Spirit to help me understand what the Lord was trying to show me. And he said, there's a barrenness. And when I first read that prophecy and began to pray over it, I said, God, that's not of you. Because God brings abundant life. If there's barrenness, it's because it's a place that we haven't let God into. So there's an emptiness and a lack of the fruit of the Spirit. My people are casting judgments and putting labels on others. They're not showing forth the fruit of my Spirit. There is no multiplication of the fruit of my Spirit. My fruit are love, joy, peace, kindness, patience, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. You're rebuking the person and not what's in them. And that's not of me. You're placing a spirit of rejection upon them, and they will end up turning away from me. To walk in the fullness of my Spirit means to receive and adopt everyone in, to love them as Christ loves unconditionally. And church, the fruit of the Spirit is a sign of maturity. So if God is telling us we're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, it means we're not as mature as we think we are. And so again, I'm just going to ask everyone at the end, let's reflect on this. Let's read it and evaluate and say, God, search my heart. Where am I lacking? What are you wanting to point out in me? This is not for you to look at anybody else or point to anybody else or judge. He's clearly saying, don't judge other people. But what part do I have to play? And if you search God and he says, hey, you're doing good and your Holy Spirit is mature, the Holy Spirit is mature in your life and you're bearing those fruits, then what part do you have to play in helping others? helping those around you, encouraging them and building them up and loving them and sharing your joy with them. Because it's not just about you. It's about all of us together. This next one was on June 26th. This dreamer vision came to me in the early morning hours of June 26th after Pastor Darius preached his destiny sermon. It was a culmination of my prayer and meditation, all during that series of revelation, manifestation, demonstration, and finally, destiny. There were constant reminders in my thoughts about building a faith community and better together. And so I just want to stop right there for a minute, because as a pastor, that so encourages my heart. Because when we have themes and we share things, it's not just something cool that Pastor Joe and I sit and talk about to come up with. It's God has laid this on our heart. So when I hear someone's taking it and praying about it and seeking the Lord about it, it's like, that's what it's all about. So then what's God saying to you about it? Young people, you too. If you take what God is speaking and you take it home and you begin to ask God about it, then he'll bring you a revelation that you can share with the body. That's the whole purpose of community and being together. So I was asking my meditation time on June 25th, where does Lighthouse PCG stand right now? What is our collective destiny? I had the following dream or vision that night. Sunday morning worship was in progress. The praise team was singing songs with a total surrender theme. Pastor Joe instructed the entire body to come to the front and stand before the altar, and the sanctuary was full. He began leading us in I surrender all. He instructed everyone to lift their hands toward heaven in submission and be expecting a holy response. As we stood there in obedience, everyone say obedience. That's a beautiful thing. The presence of God began to sweep over us. Some were slain in the spirit, some speaking in tongues, some singing in the spirit. And all of a sudden, little flakes of mist began to descend from above until it filled the entire sanctuary as smoke or a very thick mist. The Spirit spoke into my spirit, "The glory cloud is presently sitting on top of this lighthouse. It will descend when the congregation is totally unified and surrendered to me." And then it lifted for me. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Like, God is right there. And it's not just for us. He is for anyone who's willing. But he's right there. And he's saying, "Will, do you want it? Do you want me?" And a lot of this reminds me of the churches in Asia that John wrote to in Revelations. And many of them, he said, "You're doing this well, but I have something against you, something that needs to be fixed, something that needs to be corrected so that you can have the fullness of what I want to do in you." The next one is June 30th. And this is, I had a vision during Sunday morning service. In the vision, I saw an enormous dragon. I didn't see the whole dragon, just the eye and the forehead. And in comparison to a human, the eye was roughly 3 to 4 feet in diameter, very large. Then I saw a soldier. He was dressed in knight's armor. The armor was very shiny, not just because it was polished, but because it was emitting a supernatural light. The soldier was on the brow of the dragon and had just delivered a mighty blow, not with a sword, but with the shield. With the blow came a powerful light, and the blow didn't seem to be effective until a scepter from heaven solidified the blow. I believe this took place to show me that it is by faith in God's authority that this will happen. And as Brother Jesse opens service today, he talked about there is a spiritual world. Do we recognize? Do we understand? There is a God, but there is also a Satan. There are angels of light, but there are also angels of dark. And something else John and I have talked about is we feel, for the past year, I would say, we feel like we are in a very deep spiritual battle. And the enemy keeps attacking and attacking and attacking. Have any of you ever seen those old washer wringers? That's what I've told God several times. Like, God, I feel like I'm just going through the wringer. like emotionally, it is just a ringer that's just squeezing. There's a spiritual battle happening, and I've heard many of you come and share your stories and things you're going through, that it's not just a natural attack. You need to recognize it's a spiritual attack. And something I've learned through experience is that often the enemy will strike really, really, really hard right before you do something really big for God, or right after it starts, because he wants to stop it. And church, I feel like we are on the brink of something that God has promised and promised and promised. And he says, you're right there. You're at the threshold. And hell doesn't like it. And he's coming against you personally. He's coming against the church collectively. He's coming against your children and your family and your marriages. It's not natural. It's supernatural. You need to recognize that you can't fight it in the natural. But as we said this morning, we're going to get a victory. We just have to learn what it takes to get the victory. We have to learn how to fight it in the spirit and not in our flesh. We have to learn to become a place of, I surrender all, God, whatever's in me that needs to change, let it change, so that I can do things your way and not my way. The next one was July 6th. It says, the Lord showed me a vision of a fork and stated the meal he is serving is truth and righteousness. And can I just say, I love the analogy of a meal here, because in Psalms 23, it says he's prepared a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. It doesn't matter when all hell is attacking you. When you're in the presence of God, they can be right there. And it doesn't have to shake you. It doesn't have to affect you. And you can still receive and reap the benefits of God when you're in his presence. So he showed me the meal he is serving is truth and righteousness. Truth and righteousness. It is through the spirit of the fear of the Lord that the meal of truth and righteousness is being served. If we don't recognize God has all authority, if we don't recognize that there is a needed fear of the Lord, where we come humbly before him, not arrogantly, but we recognize that there is a fear of the Lord where we honor him for who he is. It is the spirit of the fear of the Lord that the meal of truth and righteousness is being served. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I am cleansing and purifying my bride with purifying fire. My light represents truth, and those who walk in my light walk in the truth. The Lord is calling his bride to sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. Sanctification means he's setting us apart. It means that we don't look like everybody else. We don't sound like everybody else. We don't do what everyone else is doing. We follow him. We're set apart for his purpose. He is sanctifying his bride like never before. To be separate from the world and not to walk in the ways of the world. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. And before I go any further with that one, I want to share, not this year, but in 2023, we start out the year with a time of what? Anybody remember? Consecration. Consecration and sanctification are synonyms. They can be used interchangeably. But we came before God, and I will tell you, as we've looked and reflected over these past year, 2 years, we felt the Spirit of God more in those services and shortly after than we have in a long time. And that's where I believe, as we began to consecrate ourselves before God, God was moving. Teenagers, do you remember your youth services you had at the beginning of 2023? I remember, because I was sitting out here for about 2 hours waiting for you guys to finish, right? Because God was moving. Why was he moving? Because we were sanctifying ourselves. We were consecrating ourselves. And somewhere along the way, we began to lose it. And we were on the verge then of God doing something great and mighty. And we didn't host it. We didn't maintain what he needed us to do to stay in that presence. The Lord says, I desire mercy over judgment. As you hear my voice, do not harden your heart in rebellion. I'm thinking of sometimes when we discipline our children. Have any of your children ever got hardened hearts when you try to discipline them? They get defensive. They start saying, oh, this isn't fair. That's not right. What about so-and-so? Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Receive it. Stay open and let him speak to you. Do not harden your heart in rebellion. I am shining my light into the strongholds in your life. Again, I'm not going to say it's sin. It's not moral failure. It's strongholds. It's something that's preventing you, clogging you from the fullness that God has for you. There's strongholds there that God's saying, I got to remove that. For you to be in holiness with me and righteousness with me, I got to get that out of there. It's strongholds. I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you out with kindness. In this season, I'm going to root out and tear down, destroy and overthrow, build and plant. And as I was reading that, this is what I felt. Root out and tear down is almost like a voluntary thing. I let you come in and you can root things out. You can tear things down that aren't right. But if we don't let God do that, then it gets a little more forceful. Because destroying and overthrowing does not sound voluntary to me. That sounds like God's just going to come in and do it, and he's going to take care of business so that he can build and plant. I want to be open to God. I want to let him do his work and not force him to move his hand in judgment. In this meal of righteousness and truth, the Lord is asking his people to return to him with a whole heart, in sorrowful repentance, fasting and weeping and mourning. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Tear your heart and not merely your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate. He's slow to anger, abounding in mercy and relenting of catastrophe. As the spirit of the fear of the Lord falls, humble yourself under the mighty hand of the righteous God. I'm extending my mercy as I do not delight in judgment, says the Lord your God. Hear these words of warning. Everyone say warning. As the time is now and the righteous judgment is near, mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed, for he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and his people with truth. And there's just two more I want to share. But again, I feel like God is giving us an opportunity. It's not a bad thing. It's an opportunity to draw near and let him change us and transform us to be more like him. It's an invitation to come in and heed and see what he's doing. So this next one was July 7th. Again, it was here in the church. And it said, I saw a round stained glass window laying flat. There were tools set on the window, symmetrically placed also in a circle. I'm not sure how many, but more than four. All the tools were the same. They were cat's paws. So if you look at the picture up there, that's a cat's paw. I had no idea what that was. If you're not familiar, it's a tool that is used to remove nails from a board that has been put in the wrong place. I wondered why they were there and what their purpose was, but no further clarity was given. So that was the end of the vision. But as I thought about the stained glass on the church windows, it occurred to me you can't see through stained glass. While it looks beautiful on the outside, you don't know what things look like on the inside. And this correlated with Pastor's message today. And this was the message where Pastor Joe preached about going on a journey and you have this baggage and there's stuff inside the luggage that you need to unzip and let it out. Let God deal with it. Let God take it. Sometime later in service, I had the same vision, only this time the tools were used to pull a plumb bob. So I think that's kind of a picture of what that is. Again, I didn't know. I had to look that up. Out of the center of the stained glass window, breaking the glass. Later in service, I had the same vision with the addition of a female statue laying under the glass, almost as if that plumb bob had been pulled from her stomach or chest. I believe she had a royal crown on her head. I'm not sure if it was related to an idol or symbolic of the church being the bride of Christ. And that was the end of the vision. And so as we were looking and testing that vision, I was reminded of a scripture in Isaiah 28:17 that says, I will test you with the measuring line of justice and the plumb line of righteousness. That word righteousness keeps coming back up. And then Pastor Joe shared with that he felt that the plumb bob is always our standard of Jesus. It represents who Jesus is. And he's pulling his bride out for breakthrough into the world and past the barriers the church has created. All right, and this last one was just this past Monday, and not so much a prophetic word as a stirring and direction from the Holy Spirit that God gave to someone, and they texted it to us on Monday. And they said, I've been reading all this morning and praying, and I feel an urgency for the book of Jeremiah to be highlighted in one of your upcoming sermons. Please pray and see what the Holy Spirit is speaking to our church regarding this. I really feel strongly about it and can't stop thinking about it. I feel it's going to be a hard message, but a needful one. Please don't take this as anything but me being as obedient to the Holy Spirit. It really hit hard today. And we began to let this person know that actually, you know, I'm planning on sharing this message, and I do feel like it's a hard message for the church. And it's a message that God is saying, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? It's in your hands. And Jeremiah, anyone know what Jeremiah was known as? The weeping prophet. I can relate to that one. I weep a lot. But he felt like everything he said, God was telling him to say, and people wouldn't listen, and they wouldn't take it seriously, and they wouldn't obey it. And for 40 years, he's giving these messages from God, and people are ignoring it, and so God would have to bring judgment. And so I found it interesting that the last 2 weeks, as I've been preparing just to put these together and saying, God, I don't really want to do this. This isn't a fun, frilly message. Then I get this word that says, there's going to be a hard message, but it's needful. And so we asked, what specific scriptures from Jeremiah is God laying on your heart? And so they shared several, but I'm just going to read two that they were feeling from Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6:16 says, this is what the Lord says. Stop at the crossroads. Stop where you are. See that there's two directions you could go right now. Stop at the crossroads and look around. Ask for the old godly way and walk in it. Now, old godly way, is he talking about wearing long skirts and your hair up on your head and no makeup and no jewelry? Is he talking about only singing hymns? Is that the old godly way? No. But the old godly way is saying, God, whatever you want, here I am. The old godly way is saying, God, it's your way, not my way. The old godly way is submitted and surrendered. And saying the church doesn't have to look like what I want it to look like. Church services don't have to accommodate me. But it's about me coming in and just worshiping and giving my all no matter what someone else is doing. That's the old godly way. He said, travel its path and you will find rest for your souls. But you reply, no, that's not the road we want. Church, I don't want that to be our reply. And the scripture she also shared was Jeremiah chapter 7, verse, I believe it's 29. Say to them, this is the nation whose people will not obey the Lord, who refuse to be taught. Truth, we've heard that word today, truth has vanished from among them. It is no longer heard on their lips. I want to stay teachable. And so what I'm asking today is that you will go before God and be teachable and just say, God, search me. Show me what you require of me. Show me how I can draw closer to you and be in your presence.
The last scripture I want to read is Proverbs 16:2. People may be pure in their own eyes, but the Lord examines their motives. And so that's what I want for all of us, just for God to examine us and for us to listen and say, if you point something out, God, okay, let's deal with it. Let's not cover it up. Let's not push it down. Let's not ignore it, but let's deal with it. Let's get it out. And so I've asked the media team just to play some songs because I think that we all need to take some time. And we're not going to rush. We're going to offer. It's an opportunity. It's an invitation. But it's all completely up to you. And I've asked Pastor Joe if any time during the altar service or at the end he's going to close it out to share whatever he feels and has on his heart, because this is something we have been talking and praying and communicating about for longer than these words, before these words ever came about. Like, God, we want more. We want more of you. We believe we can have honor and openness and unity and service in this place and do it all excellently, representing you well. We believe we can be like Jesus in all we think and all we say and all we do. And so I just encourage you, as you come, I'll put these papers down if you want to take them and read them. Meditate on them. Ask God to reveal things to you, for you, not for somebody else. Not to look at it and point your finger and say, oh, that must be so-and-so. This isn't about that at all. You know, Jesus said when he went to Nazareth, he couldn't do many miracles because the majority had unbelief. We mentioned today where two or three, you know, you can cast out demons, and two or three, you're gathered in his name, he's there. But until the majority is there, he can't do a lot. He's limited by unbelief. He's limited by things that are in our heart that are hindering him. And so we just want to be the place as a full congregation, as the whole body, where we're saying, God, we're coming in unity. Nothing hindering, nothing holding us back. And so I encourage you, just find a place wherever that needs to be for you to hear from God, to say, God, how do I fit into this? What is my part in this? What are you asking from me? And what do you need me to do? And just be open and vulnerable before him.
Something has to be.
I want those that are praying to continue to pray, but I felt a need for instruction in this moment to give you and to share yet another word, which I believe will be the seventh word, if I'm counting correctly. Anybody else count seven, right? We've given six by Pastor Alicia. Everybody's staring at me funny. Let me grab my tablet because I counted them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There were seven given. This would be the eighth, okay. This is number eight. I want to just share this with you, and then I want to give us some instructions of things to do together, because I know sometimes some people are comfortable in situations like this. They know what to do. They know how to apply it. But I want us to apply these things together. And I'm just going to read this first. It says, Brother Jesse handed me this morning. He said he had this vision on 7/27. And he was on his back porch swing, and he said there were men lined up on a wraparound balcony of a church. I think about this and think about what was already said this morning. They're an elevated place over the church. Elevated place over the church, a wraparound balcony. They were soldiers dressed in armor. And they had bows and arrows and were aimed at the first level of the building. So something that's above coming down. We've already heard this, right? The arrows they used were encompassed with hearts representing love. And behind them were stained glass windows. Then I saw a beautiful and intricate stained glass window that became crystal clear. I believe this is symbolic of the church being infused with love. God's plan and purpose coming to life and becoming crystal clear. This was just yesterday morning. And I think sometimes when things like this happen, we don't always fully understand the appropriate response. And first of all, let me just say this. Some of the stuff that was said can feel hard, but it really wasn't. Everything that God was speaking to us was an invitation to respond to Him and come closer to Him and receive everything He has for us. And for us to do that, there are sometimes there's things we need to lay aside because they're hindrances. So we need to lay them aside so we can come closer to God so that God can do what He wants to do. I hope you understand our heart's desire. Me and Pastor Alicia's heart's desire is always to fulfill what God wants. There are lots of things this church could be doing and can be doing, but we want to do what God wants us to do. You understand? And so the first step in response to this, I'm just going to lead you guys through this because I just felt the Holy Spirit tell me to. Sometimes we people hear that and they're like, wow, that's amazing. What do I do with it now? And I think the first step is that we take a step closer to God. And so we've already kind of did that this morning. Isn't that crazy? Like, you were asked if you would come forward and join your faith, and many of you did. And so in our hearts, we've already done that. But this is what I want to do. I want us to just take a moment here, and I'm just going to, and like I said, we're going to take time. And if you have something going on, you need to leave, feel free. But I want to walk you through this process that I feel like God is taking us through. And the first step is repentance. And sometimes, like Pastor Alicia said, it's not a moral thing. It's not a moral issue. There's just stuff that we're holding on to that we think are it's vitally important to us because it applies to our practical life. And God's saying, yeah, but you're really putting that before me. You think that's more important than time with me or whatever it may be. And so the first thing I want to do is if all of us can just close our eyes and just examine our heart, and maybe God will reveal something specific to you. Maybe He won't. But I think just a simple act of obedience to what He's saying to us is the first thing we say is, God, I repent of anything that's coming between me and you. So can we just say that together? Just say, God, I repent of anything that's becoming it, that's become it, that is coming between me and you. And let's just sit in that for a minute here. And think about it. And if God begins to reveal something to you, you say, well, how would He do that? Well, all of a sudden, an idea just pops in your mind. And you just think about something that is a distraction in your life. And you just tell God you're sorry for that. Like, for instance, for me, I'll just tell you, I will be humble before you that there are things in life that come that pertains to ministry that have just frustrated me so much that it's become a distraction and it's become between me and God and my relationship with Him. Say, yeah, ministry can come in between you and God sometimes. So I repent of that. I have been repenting of that, and I do it before all of you. I ask you to forgive me if there are times I treated you wrongly because of that frustration that was in my own heart, my own life. So I want you just for a minute, as they can turn the music back up just a little bit, let's just take some time, pause, and think about this. And let God just do a work as He's inviting us closer to Him. That's what this whole theme is today. Giving us direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You're a fire, the refiner. I wanna be consumed. I wanna be tried by fire. Oh yeah. You're a refiner. You take whatever you
cleanse our hearts and minds, Father. We just release these things to you that may be holding us back. Give them to you right now, Lord Jesus. See, our heart's desire is that we want to get to know you more, Lord, in a real, true relationship, God. Forgive us for blaming situations and circumstances. Forgive us for blaming others, Lord. I'm just giving it all to you right now, Lord. Turn the music back down. I want to give the next step of instruction. So first step is repentance, getting back on track, making sure there's nothing in between us and God. But the next step then is we want to make sure our desires align with God's desires. And this is so easy for us Christians. I want you to hear me. I'm not beating anybody up over the head for this, okay? But it happens to all of us. I've been guilty of it so many times where we go through our life, the day to day, and all these things happen and take place, and all of a sudden our hearts begin to desire things. And if we're not careful, they'll begin to desire the things that God doesn't want for us. So that's what got us off track. So now that we've repented, sometimes we think, well, that's done. No, the next step is, now, God, I need you to align my desires with your desires. So can you say that with me? Just say, God, align my desires with your desires. You see, when that happens, then we get the desires of our heart because they're the heart of God. And so the next step I want to do here, like I said, we're taking time. We're repenting, but this is a process. I loved how Linnea said that she alluded to the fact that it's a process she's walking through, right? Like, God did a work and she felt a peace, but she realizes, I'm walking this out. And look, sometimes we have moments, and it's such an extreme, powerful experience with God. And then we think, oh, it fixed it all. No, that was the invitation. Is the invitation to leave what was behind and to step into something new and walk or live that out. And so that's what we're doing here. So let's just take a moment and let God maybe show us if there's anything that we've been desiring. Maybe there's something we think we just absolutely need, but God doesn't want that for us, right? And begin to give us a heart for the things that He wants and desires. Then turn the music back up. Let's just contemplate on that. Think about that. God, just thank you right now that you're showing us your heart, Lord. What you want. Not what we want, God, but what you want. Hallelujah, hallelujah. thank you, Lord, that you're changing our desires. God, we know that that just doesn't happen in this moment. It's something that we have to live out. So, God, I thank you that as we proceed in our lives after this moment, we continue to walk with you, Lord, that when those times come when you're showing us, no, that's not a desire you need to have anymore. You need to have this desire that we are going to submit to that, Lord. Giving you our lives and submitting to that right now. God, that is so difficult for us. So I thank you for grace right now as a pastor of this church in a prophetic embrace of what you're speaking to us with an apostolic authority that comes from your Holy Spirit. I just release a grace over us right now. I release a grace over us right now to step into new desires that are godly desires and walk away from worldly desires or even desires that we have just developed, Lord. I just release a grace right now. If you receive that, would you just lift your hands and say, I receive that grace. Go ahead, say it out loud. I receive that grace. We're stepping into new desires that God would have for us. We're walking away from the desires of this world or things around us. Because God is speaking prophetically to us and we want to answer yes to his word. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. Now, the next step is this. You say, why are you doing this? I'm trying to teach you how to walk through processes when God speaks a word and how we respond to it. So we've repented. Now we're aligning our desires with him. The next step is we need to see God bigger than we see anything else. That just means that he's highlighted more, like he's the focal point than all the other things. What happens is our desires get pulled in multiple directions and we get distracted, church, and we don't see God as big before us as we see everything else. And before we know it, our problems are bigger than our God. Our issues, our circumstances are bigger than our God because we're so focused on all of that. And so the next step this morning that I feel God's leading us is we have already come into alignment, repentance, we're walking with God, we're asking him to change our desires to match his desires. Now we need to ask God to make him big in our lives so that he's the focal point, he's our focus. Can we do that? Just want to make it a real simple wording. Just say, God, you are my focus. Let's say it again. God, you are my focus. Let's just take a moment of time and let God begin to lift himself up in our hearts so that he is revealed more, not all the other stuff around us. Just let him do that in our hearts right now. Thank you, Lord. I will ever love and trust. If he reveals something to you that you've made bigger than him, just say, I'm sorry, Lord, and I'm not going to do that anymore. All to Jesus, Jesus I surrender. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Save you, make me holy. Let me feel your Holy Spirit. Truly know that you are mine. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. And in his presence I will live. I surrender all. Lord, your word says that you would be lifted up, that you would be glorified in our lives and exalted. And God, we do that right now in our hearts. you'd be fully exalted, that we would see you in all your glory. We would see you in all your glory. Hallelujah. Now, church, the promise is of an outpouring of his presence. Even one of the prophetic words was a declaration of a glory cloud coming and descending upon us and being in our midst. And I believe that that will physically happen. That's happened before in this congregation, not in this building, that building there. And it can happen again. I believe that's what God wants. But we have to be mature enough to handle that. Do you understand that statement? Because if we just make it about an experience, then we don't handle that properly. And that's where everybody gets knocked off kilter and you get all these crazy false doctrines and all this stuff that's come out of revivals. And our heart's prayer as your pastors, me and Alicia, is that we never get off track from the Word of God. And so what God is doing in us, he's developing us into a place of maturity where we can handle that appropriately and not make it a weird thing where we go off the rails. Do you understand me? And so the last thing I want to do this morning is I want to just pray that God, us pray together collectively that God would mature us and that we would bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit, right? That's what some of these prophetic words were saying to us, that we need to bear the fruit of the Holy Spirit. That means that we just look like Jesus. Look like Jesus. So let's just pray a simple prayer. Just say, God, come on. Don't fade out on me now. Say, God, bear your fruit in me. God, bear your fruit in me so I can be mature. Now let's just let God do that right now. Just lift your hands. Father, we just praise you right now for what you're doing in our midst. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're maturing us. And Lord, we know that that means you're going to take us through situations that are uncomfortable. You're going to take us through tests, Lord, that's going to test the attributes of your fruit. We're going to have to be patient when we don't want to be patient. We're going to have to be kind when people aren't kind to us. We're going to have to show love when it's hard. God, there's going to be pain, but in the midst of our pain, there's going to be joy. God, there's going to be turmoil all around us, but we're going to have your peace. Because you're maturing us, Father. It's going to be times where we want to be rough and rugged, but you're going to tell us, no. It's time to be gentle, and we're going to be gentle. And God, you're giving us a control over ourselves by your Spirit that we've never had before. And you're doing this all for your glory through us. We thank you for it right now. We thank you for it right now, Lord. That you're maturing us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, Father, every one of these words that have been spoken, we've taken and we're praying over, Lord, we just want to first declare that it's your word. We're thankful for the servants of God who have been attentive and listened and heard you speak, saw you in these visions and dreams. But God, these are your words for us, and we receive them as such, and they are in alignment with your holy word, the Bible. And so God, I pray that you would help us as we continue to seek after the things of you, that we would step into the fullness of this word. We stand together right now, and that's our heart's cry, that we want to experience the fullness of what you are speaking over us prophetically. We understand that you're taking us into a deeper connection with you, a deeper understanding. We're going to flow in that now, Lord. I believe that today marks a new day in our church, of a new beginning, What we have had has been wonderful, but God, you have even more for us, Lord, that's going to be magnificent. And we step into that right now, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, God. And when we leave this place, we leave with excitement for what you're doing. We leave with anticipation, God. But we also leave walking out the process of what you're doing in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, Lord, as you're developing us and developing a relationship with us, Lord. We give you all the glory and the praise for that. Hallelujah. Can you one more time just lift your hands? This is a sign to give him the praise, give him the glory, but it's also a way to receive what God has for you, because you're making yourself vulnerable, saying, yes, I open my heart, God, right now to what you want. What you want, God. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to follow you.